You know, it's songs like that that make me wonder what has happened to the people of God. Songs like that, that's so simple, yet so significant, that makes me wonder why worship ain't always off the chain. That the song simply says that every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. And then there's that little run that said, when I'm sick and when I'm on my, you know, all of that. And it makes me wonder, have we lost our mind when we won't lift up and magnify our God with every praise? It has been said, well noted and documented to be so, that the more time you spend praising,
yes, sir,
the less time you have left over for pouting. Just praise your way through it. And people will never understand why you praise God in calamity and adversity and in sickness and in sorrow. But I'm telling you now that I will bless the Lord,
yes, sir,
is mighty good medicine in every occasion. I never will forget. Pray I live long enough that my mental faculties remain strong. But I used to worry about what I would do when my parents died, when one of them, I prayed they didn't go at the same time, but I always worried about what would I do. I mean, I'd sit with other people when their fathers died, and I'd sit with people when their children were in trouble, and I always said, what am I going to do? And when the time came, I found my answer. I just praised God. I just kept praising God. And it worked. And I'll tell you now, this may not be kind of public information that most preachers would put out there, but even in the midst of my confidence to do so, I worried about what would happen if it didn't work. Yeah, because I told myself, okay, here's what I'm going to do. But Deacon Walker, I kept saying, but what if it don't work? What if I lose my courage? What if I crumble under this great weight? But it worked. It worked. And that's where your testimonies come in at. Because you can tell somebody else, listen, I tried it. I ain't telling you what I heard. I ain't telling you what somebody rumored. I'm telling you what I did.
Yes, sir.
Because when praises go up, and I needed a blessing when my daddy died, I needed something greater than myself. And God knows praise worked. And still works. Still works. Still works. Very quickly, I want to remind you that this afternoon we have a special treat for you. We're going to present a play at 3 o'clock today. Some of you are participants. Some of you are members of the troop. And so we're going to come back at 3, which means I'll be just finished preaching. You can run out to your car and come right back inside. Burger King, go up there. You know, I'm going to go up to Burger King, Deacon Walker, and I'm going to tell them, y'all owe us a tithe. Because my disciples run up here and put money in y'all cash register. Y'all need to be our corporate sponsor or something, because we bless y'all up here. Between Burger King and the fried chicken place up there on 501. Yeah, because I've seen Miss Richburg and Adrian come back here with a lot of chicken. And then got nerdy going to give me a wing. I don't eat no wing. If you're going to bless me, breast me. Grab your Bibles. 3 o'clock today. Grab your Bibles. Thank you so much for those of you who went over last week to the installation services of Pastor Elliott. I appreciate y'all making Brookville look good. When I talked to him on Monday, he said, man, Brookville was in the house. And I thank y'all for that, because it matters. It matters. So thank you so much. Psalm 124. I promised Miss Anderson today that I had some preaching that's going to bless her. Psalm 124. in your Bible, that's in the Old Testament. As you turn on your devices and your tablets and all that kind of stuff, pull that app, Psalm 124. You all know I am more inclined to quote my scripture lessons from the New Living Translation. But I want to use a little bit of the King James today as well. So we're going to do both, because there's some point I want to make that I think we need to see this, Darren, because I think that for a lot of years we've missed something in this particular setting of lesson today. So Psalm 124, it's a little bit, I know it's late already, but I can try to get along as quickly as I can. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know when you come to church what's going to happen now. So, and Christian Academy got exciting today, and I went on a little bit. So, you know, that's all right. It's all merged there together. Amen. So we're going to do this today. Psalm 124, New Living Translation says, "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive because of their burning anger against us. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Blessed be the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. Trap is broken, and we are free. Our help is from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth." God bless you. You may be seated. In the presence of our awesome God, I want to read again, Coach Palmer, from the New Living Translation, where it says again, if, now listen to me carefully, if the Lord had not been on our side. The King James Version says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, I think that a lot of us for a lot of years have heard that reference point. But a lot of us have been saying it wrong. Because generally what we say is, if the Lord, you know, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, if it had not been for, but that's not what the text says. Here's the key point, Mrs. Scott, Mrs. Anderson, Ms. Price, you educated people, linguistics and all that, wordsmith people, will tell you that it's important to read it like it's written so you can get the comprehensive part right. What the text really says is, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And really, Jasmine, what that's saying is, what if somebody else had tried to do what he do? What if somebody else had stepped in? You know, if it had not been the Lord, what the writer said, David is giving credit for this one. What he's saying is that if somebody else had done this, our lives wouldn't be like they are right now. It is important for us to understand who's running things. A lot of us like to walk around like we big ballers and shot callers and all that kind of stuff. But I think that the church, what the church needs to understand is who running things. Mm-hmm. Because a whole lot of folk like to think they running things. They ain't running nothing. You know what I'm saying? There are a whole lot of imitators to leadership and authority. A lot of people like to walk around because they got a title or office over here, or some family members and nepotism or whatever thing might have been, and try to act like you run the thing. But no, 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 no. I want to know who really running things. So when something go wrong, I'm talking to the right somebody. Y'all remember that little ditty? Engine number 9 going down Chicago line. If the train goes off the track, I need to know. I don't care who the engineer is. I don't care who the conductor is. I want to know who owned this railroad. So when my lawyer come, I'm suing the right. Ain't no need of me suing the engineer or the conductor. They just on the job. I want to know who put these tracks down, who built this train. I need to know all of the key personnel. So when I go after somebody, I'm going after the right somebody. Everybody in the room today, you need to check yourself right quick, because I'm getting ready to say something. Dick McKenzie gave me permission to be the full-blooded pastor. But let me tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian, now see, I said something. I just insulted you, and you ought to know it. And I meant what I said. I said, if you call yourself a Christian, you ought to know that if it had not been the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't be nothing. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, you ought to have this one statement right here. Somewhere in your house, in your car. In matter of fact, it ought to fall off your lips for the rest of your life. Rather than walking around whining and complaining, what you ought to be saying is, if the Lord had not been on our side. Because when you say that, James, you change everything. Everything changes. When you say, if it had not been the Lord. In other words, Jess, what I'm saying is when you were struggling back then, this is your word. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, y'all wouldn't worry about me being here. When the doctors leaned over and said, I don't know how to tell you this, and then they told you, you should have turned to Psalm 124. And looked at him and said, Doc, you did your part, but if the Lord had not been on my side, all the chemo, all of the therapy, all of that regimen y'all talking about wouldn't mean nothing if it had not been. See, you know what? I really believe right now we ought to be jumping up and down. I said before, y'all don't know when to shout. One verse ought to set us off right now. Because what we all ought to remember, what we all ought to be doing right now, is driving down memory lane of the madness, the missteps, the mistakes, and say, Pastor, you right. If it had not been the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have no job. I wouldn't have no house. I wouldn't have no car. I wouldn't have no husband. I wouldn't have no wife. But thanks be unto God, He stood right by my side. I wish I could preach. Bible gives us indication that you got to be careful, because everybody ain't going to stick with you. Bible says, if my mother and father forsake me, I know who's going to help me. See, I tell you why some of y'all don't sleep good at night. I tell you why some of y'all ain't happy. Can I tell you why some of y'all always whining and complaining? Because you don't know who on your side. You don't know where to put your hope. And putting your hope in the wrong places. Matter of fact, when you leave it today, some of y'all need to go repossess your hope. You've been counting on folk, and you've been relying on folk, and you've been telling them, you all I need. If it weren't for you, you need to go to them and say, give me back my hope. Ain't no man your hope. Ain't no woman your hope. Uncle Buck, Aunt Sarah, they just nice people on assignment. My hope is built on nothing less
Don't y'all make me work this hard. You better realize if it had not. All that other rigmarole and fluffy stuff you throwing out, that don't mean nothing. I wouldn't have survived if I hadn't been working out when I was young. You crazy. Good thing I was on a good diet, so when this happened, my body could react. You crazy. That's right. That's right. Healthy people die. Yeah. In the gym. Yeah. On the machine. But if it had not been the Lord, who was on my... If it had not been the Lord. Listen, I got a lot of friends. Well, not really. I got people who say, hey, my friend. I got people who got a little money. I got, you know, my God brother and I, like I said, we were down on big. We trying to out tip, you know, we trying to out tab each other. You know, soon the lady bring the ticket, he snatch it, I snatch it. You know, we done got, by the second day, we getting up from the table to go tell the lady, give me the ticket, don't bring back. You know, we trying to show each other, you know, we big ballers now, you know, we can pay, you know. And that's fine, but he can't take care of me the rest of my life. Matter of fact, can I tell you, I can't take care of me the rest of my life. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then he said this, he says, here is the call, Coach Palmer, of corporate worship. He said, let all us say it. Right there in the check. You know, this is where they started that turn to your neighbor thing, right here. He said, let all of Israel say it. And then he repeated, if the Lord had not been on our side, he said, everybody ought to say it. So now, and he said, everybody ought to say it. Stacy, he said, everybody ought to say it. Some of y'all ain't catching up. Y'all, beep, beep, little bus outside waiting on y'all. What I'm trying to say, everybody ought to say it. Everybody ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if the Lord had not, woo! Yes, sir! I know where my help comes from now. If it had not been the Lord, I wouldn't be here. I thought I was somebody. Because I could read a little Bible verse. I could preach a little bit. I thought, but if the Lord walks away, I ain't got nothing. He helps us. Can I hurry? I'm going to let you go. Can I hurry? See, I thought I used reverse psychology. I thought I said, because usually I say, can I take my time? And somebody will say, take your time. So I thought if I said, hurry, you turn around and go, oh, no, no. No, Rev, don't rush that thing. Good. I know good meat make his own gravy, but Rev, you don't take time with that thing. Darren, you could have helped me if you loved me. You don't help me. But here it is. David, we can give credit for it. We can give David a little credit for this. But David obviously understood something that we don't get. I'm not trying to start no trouble, none of y'all. I'm not trying to insult you again. I did it earlier, but he says, man, listen, I know some stuff I've been through that ain't nowhere in the hood. That's how my uncle said, ain't nowhere in the hood. That's a little bigger than the world. It's the hood. That I could have survived as David without him. David had been attacked. David has been nearly eaten by a bear, a lion. David has been set upon by giants. Y'all ain't had none of them problems. And what were you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if after all he been through, he can say this, that little bit of stuff y'all been through, y'all ought to say this too. All right, y'all. I shouldn't have to work this hard. David said, man, y'all don't know nothing like this here. Saul, I tried to love Saul, and he kept trying to kill me. I loved Absalom, and he tried to kill me. I stood up before this people, and when I was in trouble, I had to leave the palace and go live in a cave. But I know something now. If it had not been the Lord, who was on my side. Woo! And no, and he said, now let's corporate worship here. He said, all y'all been through something. Y'all looking at me like y'all cute. I said, all y'all been through something. No, that ain't everybody. I said, wait a minute, hold on. Keep on living. You ain't been through nothing yet, and you don't think you can relate to this, just keep on living. Nudge your neighbor, tell them, keep on living. Tell them there's a thing called this afternoon that you're going to have to deal with. Your right now is hunky-dory, but there's a thing called this afternoon. David said, man, look at here. I realize now. You know when he said, I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen. That's what the tie-in is, right, Chandra? Cedric, that's what he said. He said, listen, man, the only way I got old ain't because I ate berries. Ain't because I lived in plush condition. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why? Because the Lord won't leave you and he won't forsake you. There's an old song we used to sing in the church. He stood right there by my side. Nudge your neighbor, tell you, you need to make some room. I got company today. This pew is reserved for my company today. I got three people sitting with me today. You're going to have to move down. I got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be with me for the rest of my life. Then there's Nehemiah. I'm hearing along. There's Nehemiah, Coach Palmer. Nehemiah comes along and says kind of the same thing. Nehemiah says, in the midst of all of his struggle, you know, he's trying to get that wall put back together, you know, trying to get the city back. And the peoples is having some trouble. Miss Scott, you saw me put that S on peoples. The peoples is having some trouble with this thing. And Nehemiah calls a council meeting and stands before the people and says, listen here. We ain't got to worry about nothing. They talking about coming after us, you know, Sanballat, Tobiah, and all them come out. We're going to come in. We're going to do this here at night. You know, we're going to come in. And he said, we ain't got to worry about none of that. He said, here is the summary of our security plan. God will fight for us. And then he adjourned the meeting and told everybody, now y'all going home now. Get away from here. God, see, some of y'all don't know that. See, I can tell you some of y'all sitting there looking at me all deep. I'm telling you, it ain't right. You need to realize, honey, homeboy, do that. You ain't got to go buy no pistol. You don't need no knife. You don't, all you need is a constitution of comprehensive understanding that says God keeps his word. See how fancy I make that thing sound. You got, Nehemiah said, listen, they threatening to come after us. They talking about tearing up some stuff. He said, listen, let me make this thing compact and confident. God will fight for us. Why? Because the Lord is on our side. Well, now that I've done the introduction. Title of the sermon, look at the name. Say, neighbor. Pastor's going to preach. Stony the road we trod. You know James Weldon Johnson. That's the line in Lift Every Voice and Say. What he's saying is, man, listen, even though we go through difficulty, we know somebody. We are a people of community that are covered by a king who is comprehensive and complete in all his doings. Leroy, you're deep. Yes, he said, listen, we may have We may have difficulties. But what we understand is there is no difficulty greater than our God. James Johnson was right in his line, you know, and I pray you get this now because it's right here in the text. James Johnson comes along much longer after David. But notice what he said. Can I read a little bit here? I'm going to hurry along. I'm going to cut it short, do the other part another time. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way. I like that. Watch this. Thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path we pray. That's good church right there. That's good preaching right there. He said, listen, Lord, it's been hard, but we all right. We cried sometimes, but we are all right. You have brought us. Now, here's key to that. Sometimes. God, I feel like preaching. Sometimes God allows trouble. See them crazy cousins you got who don't go to church, don't know nothing about the Bible, always like Job friend talking, well, you must have done something. Next time you in trouble and somebody say them stupid words to you, well, you must have done something, tell them I did. And then they're going to get noticed, and what'd you do? I trusted the Lord. And they're going to be confused. They're going to say, well, since you trusted God, why is this happening? You say, listen, it ain't why it's happening. It's that it's happening. Because man born of a woman ain't got but so long to be here. But while I'm here, I got trouble to deal with. But the answer is further along in the good book where it said trouble don't last always. God of ours. Weary. You know, he also said, Lord, we get a little tired sometimes. That's when Jesus comes in. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, if you ain't never been through nothing, ain't no rest. You don't need to rest if you ain't never done nothing. Look at him and say, you lazy. That's why you can't worship. You ain't never done nothing. You don't know what it is to get no rest because you ain't done nothing yet. That's just like we were growing up, Coach Palmer, and we used to tell Granddad our back hurt. He said, you ain't got no back. All you got is a gristle. Now, I don't know what he was feeling, but I know what I was feeling was back here. Yes, sir. David, Nehemiah, come on, help us. I'm going to take a shortcut. They help us understand, but there is a compact confidence that all of us need to comprehend. And that is simply that God is our greatest resource. You miss me. I have insurance. I have insurance. I have a doctor for when I'm sick. I have a lawyer for when people talk crazy. I just call them and say, you need to send these people some papers and tell them we ain't playing. I have those people. I have a mechanic. Something happened to one of my calls. I call him anytime. And he said, oh, I remember this. I have a few people who do it. I mean, I have those people. But my greatest resource is the Lord. Y'all ain't talking to him. See, some put their hope in things. There's a song we sing in the church that said, build your hope on things. Okay. See, I don't care about none of this yet here. I got them people, and they're necessary. I called my doctor. My wife reminded me of this. You need to reschedule your appointment. Cause I said, okay, I'm going. It's colonoscopy time. I'm going on over there. I'm not going to enjoy it, but I'm going to go on over there because I want to live. I want to outlive some of y'all, and you do that. But the reality is those folk can't do nothing for me like the Lord can. And I realized that my greatest help. You remember that writer when he said, I will look to the hills for which cometh my help, knowing that my help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. He sits high and looks low. He's God all by himself. And so what I realized is, watch this now, James Weldon Johnson has another line that's full of preaching. He said, full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, your history is your hallelujah. It's what I've been through that makes me shout. My history is my hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you better stop hanging your head and go ahead and open your mouth. What I've been through is why I shout. I ain't ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my trial and tribulation. Matter of fact, can I talk to you like I wanna? Matter of fact, the same way you was enjoying it back then ought to be part of how you shout right now. Church folk got some nerve, you know, when people bring up their past, try to act like we so ashamed. When you was out there doing it, you were all in. That's how you ought to shout, all in. Next time somebody say, child, you used to drink, people on the table, yeah, girl, hallelujah. Child, you smoke more dope, yeah, hallelujah. Act like you so ashamed. You weren't ashamed then. Now you can't praise God in the house. Don't bring that up. My history validates my hallelujah. Because folk who ain't been through nothing can't talk about nothing. Nudge your name, don't get me started. He said, full of the faith. Can I tell you there's only one kind of faith to have? Full faith. James Weldon Johnson says, we full of the faith. That the dark past, some of y'all act like you ain't never done nothing. You make me sick. You ain't never cussed. You ain't never crossed the street on a red light. You ain't never stole nothing. You ain't never stayed out late. You ain't never kissed a boy or a girl. You still a virgin. You still got your first pair of baby shoes. You crazy. Nike said, just do it. And we did. Give your neighbor a low five. Well, he right there. Pastor, don't go no farther. You gonna mess around and say something, and Miss Davis ain't gonna like it. He said, listen, I have learned from my past. He said, it was dark, too. Some of y'all act like y'all just children of the light. Oh, you ain't all, listen, you ain't always been in church, and some of y'all wasn't in church last Sunday. And some of y'all ain't gonna be in church next Sunday. He said, listen, man, I've learned something. And here it is. I'm gonna leave it alone. Here it is. The reality for us is God will fight for us. You're welcome here and there. Thank you. Two of y'all. I heard two of y'all say thank you. I'll pass that on to the Holy Ghost next time we're talking. You do understand. Help me now. Well, let me help you understand. All of you are subject to failures, shortcomings and missteps and setbacks and heartaches, and people gonna lie on you. People gonna cheat you, and people gonna do stuff. Anybody had stuff done to them? Mm-hmm. Here the flip. Watch this, Coach Palmer. Anybody did stuff? Y'all sitting here right now thinking about who you gonna fix. Anybody ever said that? Oh, I'm gonna fix you. You know what it means? You finna do something dirty. I'm gonna fix you. I'm gonna get you. Here it is. Watch this. Here's your dying declaration. If it's the last thing I do, I'm gonna get you. All right. Well, let me make sure you end it today. No, stay with me. David says, I understand something. Then he goes down a list. He said, these are the kinds of things that we were up against. I got to go. It's 1 o'clock. Y'all come back next Sunday. But I want to help you. He says, we have had stuff happen to us, man. We weren't bothering them people. Remember Moses. Can I back it up? We're going to go. Moses, mind his own business. And God says, Moses. Moses turned around and said, man, I moved out here. I ain't know nobody know me. Moses. You know, come on, y'all be real. Moses standing there going, man, what the?
Come near.
I mean, if you out in the middle of the backside of the desert and you hear somebody call you, you know you're going to say, If you didn't call Jesus before, you're going to call him and, Lord, look here. But here it is. I'm going. I got to go. God calls him and says, I got an assignment for you. You know, Moses by now, pretty cool. You know, and drank some lemonade, ate a cup of ginger snap. God had made it feel comfortable because he's sitting over in the cleft, you know. And he's all right. God says, go back to Egypt. Moses said, oh, wait a minute now. Now you were doing all right with that calling me and drinking this, you know. But I can't go back to Egypt. God says, I'm gonna send a guy to the world one day called James Weldon Johnson. And he's going to write these words. And I need you to understand them now, Moses. I'm going to tell them to you, but I'm going to let him put them in a song in his heart for people to sing. He says, Moses, I'm sending you back. Watch this. Full of the faith that your dark past has taught you. Y'all don't know when to shout. And it's for that reason that Moses was qualified to lead a people out of danger because he understood danger. Oh, God, have mercy. Moses is saying, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we'd still be making bricks without straw. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we'd be still living in Egypt. If it had, y'all ain't talking to me like I thought you would. Moses said, God is my deliverer. You don't understand it. You're so afraid of what you used to be and where you come from. But that'll bless you when you realize that if it had not been the Lord. Some of y'all sitting up here with your refined self thinking you got here by yourself. You crazy. You silly. Because if it had not been the Lord, Deacon Davis, I'm going to stop here. But I got some notes in here that's going to explain this a little bit better. Now, can I give you a coming attraction? Y'all know I like that. I'm going to set you up. There are three things I'm going to tell you next week. First of all, I'm going to tell you how to live as a confident people. That's next week. Same thing I'm going to tell you is be careful how you take credit for what you don't need to take credit for. That those are going to be the setup points, Sandra. And then here's the preaching point. First of all, when he said if it had not been the Lord, there are three pieces to it. Can I give you three? One, you need to realize that. I'm going to talk about that. Second thing is you need to recite that. You need to be saying that all the time. And then the third piece is you need to go report that. You need to go tell some people. That's how your witness is going to come in. And then the shout is, you need to rejoice because you know that. That's next week. Thank you. And then after you get all lathered up on that one, my closing argument is going to be three simple things. Can I tell you what it is, Sister McCoy? The three simple things is, first of all, why can we report that and why can we recite that and why should we rejoice in that and why do we realize? Well, I'll tell you why. One, because we've all had adversity. That's going to be the setup, Vicky. It's going to be coming in. And then I get you getting to thinking about the adversity. And I'm going to tell you, we all have an adversary. Yeah. See, I'm telling you, the devil been messing with all of us. And here's the real shout, Sandra. This is when the church going to be upside. People going to be running. I'm going to tell you that we all have the answer. Yeah. And it's right there in verse 8. The answer is Christ Jesus. That's going to be shouting time showed up. Because all of us have the adversity to deal with. We have an adversary. But we all have an answer. That way, for the rest of your life, when stuff happens, you won't be pulling your hair out and contemplating suicide and talking about, I can't get out of my bed. I can't go back down there. I don't want to. You're going to know you got the answer. And it's right there in verse 8. He said, because our help is from the Lord. That's going to be shouting time showing up. The maker of heaven. And then my clothes are going to be because he lives. See, he dealt with adversity. He faced his adversary. But he knew he had the answer. Jesus kept a little cheat sheet in his front pocket. When everything got bad, he'd reach in his front pocket and pull out the answer. God is my Father. When they came and got him in Gethsemane, God is my Father. Okay, we're going over there. When they beat him, God is my Father. Okay, we're all right. And then when he got to the cross, when he uttered these words, we like this. He said, Father, if it's at all possible, can we skip this part? And then he hit it. He felt that little piece of paper and said, nevertheless, because God is my Father, that will be done. You know what he's saying? Nobody does it like you. Call it Simon Jess. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it quite the same. There's nobody like you. Is there anybody here that knows nobody does it better? Nobody lives like he does. Nobody loves like he does. Nobody leads like he does. Nobody does it better. If it had not been the law. I'm done. Gotta go now. Pray you live long enough to come shout with me next week. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm gonna keep on realizing that. I'm gonna keep reciting that. I'm gonna keep rejoicing in that. Because I know beyond the shadow, that old song you sang, you can't make me doubt it. I know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Look at your name, tell me, you can't make me doubt it. I know too much about him. I tried him for myself. So Scott, can I get one in? Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Is there anybody here that knows God is all right? If I was feeling like I want to feel right along here, I'd go, ain't he all right? My voice won't let me, but my spirit says, ain't he all right? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I tried. And I found out he's a way maker, a strong deliverer. God got giddy up power. Pastor, what's giddy up power? When you're in trouble, he'll mount up and send chariots to get you. That's why them old folks sing that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. You know you got to have some strong horses to pull that chariot. God's got giddy up power. Anybody know that? He'll get there quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen. Stand on your feet. I got to let you go. We got playtime today. I'll finish next week. Stony the road we trod. In other words, Pastor, what we're saying is we've been through some things. But Deacon Walker, the only reason we got through is because we had a God who pulled us through. Anybody want to testify that the Lord pulled your bacon out the fire? Thank you, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas went on and testified to the next level and said more than one. Some of y'all should have tried to out-testify and said, listen, you don't know nothing.
I'm working on chance number 1,275. Anybody know he's the God of many chances? Right along through there, James, somebody should have looked at somebody and said, honey, hush. You don't have a clue how I press God. When I told him I wasn't going to do it no more and did it that afternoon. I told him I wasn't going to say it no more, and I wrote it in a letter. I thought because I didn't verbalize it, I can get away with it. But he knows the thoughts of every man. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That's my declaration of deliverance. I sure appreciate what few friends I got. I've had people call me and say, well, you need anything, Leroy, you just let me know. I appreciate you. More often than not, Deacon McKenzie, when I call, I must have called at an inconvenient time because they said, well, not right now. Man, if you'd have called me yesterday, well, I didn't have no trouble yesterday. I tell you what, from now on, give me a schedule of when you're available. Y'all ever had people do that? Man, if you'd have called me last week, I could have hooked you up. I wasn't in trouble last week. Well, I need to schedule my trouble around your convenience. Y'all know what I'm saying. But here it is. We'll do part two. I got to do it. I'm going to finish. But right now, before you leave, because we don't know the day nor the hour, I need to make an offer to you. I need to offer you an opportunity to get to know this Lord that I'm preaching about. You do know I wasn't preaching about Deacon Davis. I wasn't preaching about Leroy Mitchell, I was preaching about Mary's little baby. Jesus. There's something about that name. Like the fragrance after the rain. There's just something. I was coming back yesterday. Deacon McKenzie and I was running along right nicely and come over the hill, and there sat the state trooper. I said, Jesus. There's power in the name. I looked up in the rearview mirror, and he was coming out the little honey hole. I said, Father, I stretched my hand to thee. My foot had gone too far. And I saw him turn the lights on. He was getting it. I said, oh, well, and he went by him, I said, in the name of Jesus. Even demons behave themselves. Now, I'm not advocating y'all do that, but it worked for me. I trust it. But you can't call upon him in whom you have not known. And you cannot come to know him if you have not heard of him. In this church, we preach Jesus. My invitation to you is simply what David wanted you to understand. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, God's going to help you if you let him. God's going to get you through if you just grab his hand. God's going to bring back the joy if you'll let him. But you need to say to yourself today, I need him. I got a little part in there, Dr. Dixon, I'm going to preach it a little bit, where some of us have declared our independence from God, but that declaration of independence is ignorance, because you're going to need him. Don't you fool yourself into thinking because you're having a good season and your bill's paid and the doctor done gave you a clean bill of health and your husband acting like he got some sense and the children cleaning up the room and blowing the little snotty nose that you think, oh, we good now. And you're going to give up on God. You need him. That's where the old song went, wasn't it? Reverend said, every hour I need thee. And they had that part in there where only good, strong singers could sing when they said, oh, I need thee. And I'm telling you today, if you don't know him, oh, you need him, but you need to know him. And my invitation very quickly, appreciate Deacon Walker always reminds me, Pastor, we got to do that invitation. Years ago, when he first came to us, he would remind me, say, Pastor, you did all right today, but you forgot the invitation. And I said, oh. And he gave me that look like, what kind of preacher are you? I don't want him looking at me like that. So I'm inviting you today on behalf of Deacon Walker and myself and the ministry leaders who love a God who loves you back. If you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, I know the hour is upon us. I promise you I'm going to fix it next week. But would you come now? Because I don't know who ain't going to be here next week. And I mean, I'm not talking about inconvenience. I mean, we might be gone. Ain't no praise from the grave. That's why I don't spend no time in the cemetery. None. I don't go out to the cemetery to visit. Ain't who you visiting? I mean, I'm not trying to, you do what you got to do, but they can't say nothing to me. Ain't no need talking to them. I don't like talking to folk who don't talk back to me. I did what Jesus said. I let the dead bury the dead. I mean, you go out there and put your flowers. Now, don't get all twisted up. Some of y'all done fold your arms up. Go do that kind of thing. You know, take care of mama and them and all that. But I'm just saying, I'd rather be with y'all, the living, where we can shout together and enjoy each other. I like to feel your skin on my skin and your breath on my breath. If you brush teeth, I mean, I ain't going out there and sit in no, take no chair and sit in no cemetery for hours. I'd rather be with y'all. But we gonna all end up out there. So while we're alive, I extend to you an invitation on behalf of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you'll give your life to Jesus. Don't leave here today thinking you can come back. Well, he said he's gonna finish next week. You might be finished this afternoon. Don't leave without Jesus. I highly recommend him. I tried him for myself. Ain't he all right? If you have not accepted him, come on very quickly. Not that I'm rushing you, but I just want you to know that urgency is a valuable thing. Because when you understand urgency, you eliminate foolishness. How many of you, just very quickly, how many of you wish you had gone earlier to the throne? And I didn't really go late, but I sure wish I'd gone earlier. Because if you go early, you get to stay longer. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to stay forever. I want to be with him. If you'll come now very quickly. If you've already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, come back next week. I got some more for you. But in this time that we have, can I ask you to make a new affirmation? Can I get you to establish a new constitution? I've mentioned in Christian Academy this morning, I'm taking up too much of your time, but I mentioned in Christian Academy this morning that we're not taking God serious. And I want us to take God serious. Here's what I want to do today. I'm going to let you go, run off and grab that healthy grilled chicken sandwich. Don't get no unhealthy food. But can I get, I love y'all. I love y'all. But I made up my mind. I said this, and Deacon McKenzie has gave me the nod and the wink that I can go full blower. I can go ahead and be Pastor Mitchell now, 18 years, and he says things gonna be all right from here. But can I ask you to join me today? Now don't come till I finish, because see, some of y'all gonna coming in when I say what I say, you're gonna say, oh, I shouldn't have gone up there. But can I ask you today? I need you to think very quickly. I'm gonna let you go, but can I ask you today? And listen, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to create a house divided. I need this house to be whole. But I know what I'm going to say is going to be a little bit divisive in a way, but we'll heal from it. We'll heal. But can I ask you today? I'm done worrying about new disciples. Now I'm going to deal with what I got right here. But can I ask you today, in light of what I said in Christian Academy this morning, if you weren't here, listen to the podcast thing or something, but please hear what I said this morning. Don't ask nobody because they might get it wrong. But I need you to understand something. We got to get serious. We're too old to be playing church. And so what I want to ask you today, again, I'm not going to apologize. Dick McKenzie said I ain't got to. But what I'm going to ask you right now, can I get the few people that are in this room that can hear me today, that will on this 28th day of February, year of our Lord 2016, that you will decide, declare, dedicate, devote, and be determined and disciplined from this day forward to be serious about God. Would you come and pray with me? That's all I'm asking. I ain't promising you no welfare check. I ain't promising you nothing gonna get fixed. It's time for the people of God to get serious. I'm not judging. If you don't come, I'm not judging. I realize that that's a statement all by itself, and it may not be the one, but I'm just tired of being played with, and I'm tired of folk playing with God. You need to make that decision. There were seven key points I talked about this morning, and decision was the first thing we talked about. If I can just get you to make that decision today that you're going to get serious about God. Come on, y'all know how you, come on, come on. I know what you want. Looking at my grandson, get your grandson. I love my grandchildren. Amen. Somebody got to do what I do when I leave. So I need you to be serious. That's all I'm asking you today. I'm not going to ask you to do anything but pray with me out of the declaration that you just made. You're moving forward. God bless you, ladies. I know where you ladies are. You're moving forward. Means the world to the kingdom. Okay. If I can get you to be serious about God, it's going to change your whole life. You don't need a false prophet telling you about how everything's going to be and what's going to happen. Once you get serious with God, everything's going to change. Watch what God's going to do with you. I said to them this morning, Deacon Walker, I know you were here, but I said to the congregants this morning, that when you're serious and where you put your effort is where the fruit comes. Because what you're tenacious about, what you're intentional about, that's where the fruit's going to come. If we desire that Greater Brookville go to greater destination and do, it's because we're serious. And being serious requires some critical adjustments. And we're going to talk about those in the academy next week. But all of us are going to have to make critical adjustments. Not casual adjustment. You can't keep coming to the altar every other Sunday talking about, Lord, I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm going to do it. Lord, give me another chance. Lord, I'm back. No. And that other no, too. You need to understand that God is serious about you. Where baby girl at? There y'all. Come here, honey. Y'all may not know this baby's in the fight of her life. But look at her. You know why she's here today? You know why she looks like she looks? Because God is serious about her. God ain't playing with this baby. And right now, she don't need God to play with her. She needs a serious God who cares about her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. She needs a God who knows what cancer is, where it is, and how to deal with it. She needs a serious God. She needs a serious praying grandmama. She needs a serious congregation who ain't looking to see her go down, but looking and praying to see her come up. And the only way we're going to do that with her is to be serious about the God who's serious. Because, baby, where you're serious at and where he's serious at, when those two come together, the righteous are never forsaken. Demons, death, and destruction flee. Whatever God is doing, that's what you want to be a part of. However God is talking, that's what you want to hear. Because when you're serious, fruit, prosperity, healing, deliverance, to him that overcometh, all come into play. My survivors, raise your hand. Come here, baby. Stand up here. Let you look out here. Come on, survivors. Put your hands up. Look at them survivors. And you know what? He's no respecter of person. What God did for Marion, Sandra McKenzie, Dr. Dickerson, Melvin, Starlin. God is faithful. Can y'all tell her that God likes to show out? God likes credible witnesses. That's why God told those lepers, now go tell the priests. Go tell them what I did. Everybody else tried, but when you met me, when you met Jesus, go tell them what I did. God is serious. And when we get serious, this baby gonna be all right. And the next is gonna be all right. So I need you today. God bless you, sweetheart. You can step. Where grandma at? Come on, grandma. Get close to the baby. Come on. Sandra McKenzie, come on. Miss Nolan, if you don't mind. Can you make it up here? I know I need my survivors around. I want that anointing that was on y'all's life to just merge into her life. He all right. He ain't bothering nobody. See, she calling her prayer warriors now, taking over my service. All right. I'll let you do it. Come on, survivors. I got some more survivors. Come on, thank you. Come on, sister. Come on. All any survivor, whatever you've been through. God heard them. They cried. They called. They walked the floor. He heard them. Because of your voice, victory. I don't know what God's going to do. I can't promise you nothing. But I know what I know he can do. And I know when you're serious. You got time for nobody laying hands on you for nothing and dragging you all over the country. Talking about, I know this prophet. No, I know Jesus. You ain't got to leave town. He's right here in town. And we're praying for you. It's time to get serious. And this people all around us have declared today they're going to be serious. They've declared today from this wall, that wall, from this pulpit to that door. I ask the people to come that would be serious. You're going to have to change your walk. You have to change your talk. Cliche as it may sound, but it's simple. I'm keeping it simple because I declare today the authority of God, that if my people who are called by my name would but humble themselves and pray, he said, then I'll hear. And he said, I'll change everything. Is there anybody here today that doesn't want God to change some things, but wants God to change everything? Father, in the name of Jesus, look at your people. God, take their names down. Make photocopies of this gathering. I know you won't forget, but God, that you might have to remind them that on this day they stood and declared they would be serious. God, hold us accountable because the Bible teaches us that our word ought to be our bond. Bind us to these words as we write them upon our doorpost and as we come in and go out, that we said we'd be serious. We would no longer be casual with you, but we will make critical adjustments, that we will walk upright before you, that when men and women see, they would glorify our Father because we're serious. They would look on us and say, how in the world are you still alive? when you had cancer. You had HIV. You were stricken. You had a stroke. You couldn't even lift your hand. You were dragging your foot. Now you're dancing. Now you're lifting up your hands and you're throwing your head. How in the world? And it is then that we will remember Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord. That's all we're going to tell them. We're going to realize it and we're going to recite it. Because we know that the Lord is. And so God remind us and reinstate us based on the constitution of our mouth today. Bless this baby afresh. We call, as the Bible says, if there is any sick among you, call for the elders. These survivors are our elders. And they'll lay hands and pray the prayer of recovery. And it shall be so. We don't know what you're going to do next with this baby. And I know she's a full-grown woman, but she's a baby. I don't know what the therapist, I don't know what the oncologist is going to say. I don't know. I'm silly concerning those things. But Lord, thou knowest. And all we pray now is that you make her a credible testimony. The word says, oh, taste and see. But Lord, we pray that there'll come a day when she'll stand and say, oh, look and see. Oh, hear and know what God has done. For if it had not been the Lord who was on her side, we thank you today for serious people in a serious time. Amen. God bless you. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice to them. And we'll see you in a little bit. 3 o'clock today.